You may well have guessed, as we have read God's word this evening and even as we have sang the different hymns, the text of scripture that we want to leave with you this evening, it is the verse 6, and especially the latter part of the verse there, where we have that name of God revealed, the Lord, our righteousness. The margin gives to us the Hebrew rendering of this name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Of course, we sang that hymn, the opening hymn was that hymn of on which the Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, is identified. Although this name or title is not frequently found in the Word of God, yet it is still one of the greatest significance. For it reveals to us the very central truth of God's salvation. As we come to consider this name, as we come to consider the Lord our righteousness, we're looking at the very heart of the gospel, the very truth of salvation by grace through Christ. And so we see here something that is most wonderful and something that must not be missed. The religions of man are all about the works of man. What man must do to earn and merit salvation or heaven, or whatever that false religion sets forth as the great prize of adhering to what they teach. The emphasis, no matter what man-made religion you look at, is all about what man must do. Man's works, man's deeds. But here in this verse of Scripture, we are brought to see not what man must do to inherit eternal life, but rather what has been done for us so we can have eternal life. We are not told here in these words to be righteous, but rather we are brought to see one who is righteous, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. The revelation of this name sets the truth of God's salvation apart from every cult, sect, and religion of man. God is saying in very clear, emphatic, and bold words, I am what you need to be righteous. My salvation is what you need to have acceptance with God. Righteousness is not found in works, but rather it is found in a person. And that is what is clearly set out in this title and in this name. That righteousness is not found in the things that we do and how we live. But righteousness is found in a person. And the person identified here as Jehovah Tsidkenu. This name is one that all men would do well to give special and careful attention to. Because ever since the fall, man has been on a quest to prove that he is righteous because of the things that he has done. And this has been the case throughout every generation down through the history of time. Men are always trying to prove, oh, I am a righteous person. I am a moral person. I am a good person because of the things that I have done. Because of the deeds of my life. And that is what man has been always trying to prove. We see this right from the very first person born into this world. Cain. Cain, he shunned God's provision of salvation. And what did he do? He came to God with the work of his own hands. He brought the fruit and the vegetables that he had grown. And what Cain was saying was, look, this is what I have produced. These are my works, my deeds. This is what I have done. He was saying, God, look at me. I am a good person. Look what I have produced. That's what Cain was saying as he brought the sacrifice of vegetables and fruit to God. Surely God would accept this. Cain was well pleased with his own work. Surely God would accept Cain's work. But we read the words in Genesis 4 and 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, the Lord had not respect. God dismissed Cain. Cain tried to earn salvation and merit with God salvation through his own work and effort. But he fell short. He fell miserably short. And man in every generation ever since have been doing the same. They have been falling short. Romans 3:23 tells us that man has come short of the glory of God. For all have come short of the glory of God. That is short of the standard that God sets for acceptance. The standard that God requires of man to get into heaven, all men have fallen short. The bridge of man's good works, of man's religion, of man's morality, does not reach to heaven, but it falls short. And so therefore those that are on that bridge, those that are trying to reach heaven, trying to reach glory, on the bridge of their own efforts or their own deeds, are going to fall short, and they will fall right into the ravine of hell itself, and there they will be for all eternity. Because our deeds, our effort, our work, they fall short of God's glory, God's standard. We can say just as Cain speaks to us of the failure of men to try and gain heaven and salvation by their own works, so the one that is revealed here in Jeremiah 23:6 as the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah's in Kenyu, he reminds us of how we can't have righteousness, and we can't have heaven, and we can't have eternal life through the work of another, through the righteousness of another, not through our efforts, not through our deeds, not through our trying to live a morally good life, but rather through the righteousness and the work of another. And this evening, I want us to think of the one that is revealed here as Jehovah Sin Kenyu, to see how this great name of God teaches us not only our need, but the one who is qualified and the one who is able to meet our greatest need. That is the need for righteousness. The first thing I want us to see here is what this name implies. What this name implies. Verse 6 says, "And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." As the Lord reveals himself to the people of Israel by this wonderful name, there is a very clear implication here. And that implication is this: we by nature are unrighteous. That is what is implied in this text of Scripture. God is saying, one shall come, and this one, he will be your Savior, and his name will be the Lord our righteousness. And so the only conclusion that we can draw from this is that we need righteousness. If there's going to be one that will come and that he will be our righteousness, then in our natural state, we are unrighteous. We need to have righteousness. Because this one that is going to come is going to be our righteousness. We are by nature unrighteous. As we look at the context of this verse, this is very clearly seen. In verse 3, it tells us how that God would gather the remnant that had been driven out and scattered. It says there in verse 3, "And I will gather the remnant out of my flock, out of all countries whither I have driven them." These people had been driven out of Israel and driven out of Judah because of their sin, because of their unrighteousness. Remember, Jeremiah here is writing because the people of Israel and Judah, they're in captivity. Why are they in captivity? Because they had sinned. They were unrighteous. They had rebelled against God. But God is saying, I'm going to gather them again. I'm going to bring them back. And the purpose for which God would gather them was that they might know Jehovah's in Kenyu. That they would be righteous. And so this name very much implies that men by nature stand in need of righteousness. Men by nature are unrighteous. Again in Romans 3, verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." There's not one individual that has been born into this world that has been born righteous. Of course, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was without sin, who was perfectly righteous, God's holy Son. But every ordinary man has been born in the state of unrighteousness. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." That is speaking about his natural state of unrighteousness. But what does it mean? When we speak of man being unrighteousness, what does that mean? We note it there in Romans 3 and 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. But what does that mean? When we describe man as being unrighteousness, or rather, when God describes man as being unrighteous, because this is God that is speaking, and it's important to note that. God describes man as being unrighteous, not society, not even the church, not even the preacher. My friend, tonight, it is God that sees you as unrighteous. And that is what is so serious about this subject. God declares all men to be unrighteous. But what does this mean? What does it mean when God says that there is none righteous? No, not one. Well, 1 John 5 and 7 tells us all unrighteousness is sin. And so when God says there is none righteous, he's saying there is none that is without sin. We are all sinners. What is sin? 1 John 3 and 4 tells us sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the breaking of God's law. And so we can conclude that the unrighteous person is a lawbreaker. You see, he's getting to the very heart of the matter. Unrighteousness. The man who is unrighteous because as he stands before holy God, he stands as a lawbreaker. Someone who is guilty in the light of God's holy law. And that is so important that we view our unrighteousness in this sense. It is breaking God's law. Our unrighteousness is not merely, well, we have failed a bit. And we haven't maybe done the things we ought to have done. We're not bad people, but, you know, we're not the worst. Man's unrighteousness arises from the fact that he's a lawbreaker. He has broken God's holy law. And so therefore, God finds him as guilty. My unrighteousness, my sinfulness, is that which is seen and declared in the light of God's holy law. In the court of heaven, we are found guilty. And it is absolutely imperative that we understand that. Absolutely imperative. For when we see and understand that man is unrighteous because he is a lawbreaker, then he will see that the only remedy is one that is able to keep the law for him. One that is able to keep the law for him. We must understand that our problem is the problem of being guilty before the law of God. That is our problem. So often sin is passed over today as a light thing, as an insignificant thing, as not really that important. But my friend, when we get before God's holy law and realize that we are lawbreakers, we are guilty before God, then sin becomes a whole lot more serious. And we realize the only remedy is one that is able to keep the law for us, and he's identified here as Jehovah Sin Kenyu, the Lord our righteousness. Paul, again speaking in Romans 3:20, says, For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What is Paul saying? He's saying that in the light of God's holy law, we see our sinfulness and our unrighteousness. You see, people think that they can live morally good lives and they can try their best and God will be pleased with them. But when their lives are placed up against the holy law of God, what does the holy law of God declare? That they're guilty, that they're lawbreakers. You see, what I want you to see this evening is that your problem, your great need, is of righteousness. Why are people not interested in Jehovah Sin Kenyu? Why are people not interested in the Lord our righteousness? Why do men see no beauty in him that they should desire him? Because they do not see their problem, the problem of lawbreakers, that they're lawbreakers and they are unrighteous. If sinful men could grasp the awful truth that they are unrighteous, then they would be intrigued by Jehovah Sin Kenyu. They would desire him. They would long after him. They would seek him until they would find him. My friend out of Christ tonight, realize this. That your unrighteousness arises from the fact that before God's law, you are found guilty and you are found condemned. And what are you going to do in the light of that great and that solemn truth? What are you going to do? Where are you going to find a remedy? Where are you going to find a solution for this awful condition of unrighteousness? Of guilt before God. There's only one place you can find a remedy. That is in Jehovah Sin Kenyu, the Lord our righteousness. So we see what is implied here in this name. Then notice not only what is implied, notice the one that is identified in this name. He said, tells us in verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." The one that is identified by this name, Jehovah Sin Kenyu, is one that shall come forth from the line of David. He is described here as a branch, but not just any branch, as a righteous branch. A branch is that which shoots forth and grows. And so what Jeremiah was telling the people of Israel was, Jehovah Sin Kenyu will be a man. He will be a man. One that will come from the line of David, and he will grow up in this world. And yet as he does this, he will be righteous. He will be a righteous one. What Jeremiah was telling these people was a most remarkable thing. You see, in verse 5, he speaks about how one would come from the line of David who would be king and would reign in righteousness and in justice. And that is what so many of the Jews were looking for. The Jews here at this particular time, they were in captivity. They were under the heel of the Babylonians. And they were being persecuted. They were being driven into the ground, so to speak. And they were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for a Savior, someone that would come and save them from this terrible condition. That is what their hope was in. And so as Jeremiah speaks to them in verse 5, I'm sure they were thrilled to hear this news. Oh, someone's going to come from the line of David. Another great king. Someone to deliver us. Someone to give us hope from the oppression of the enemy. That's no doubt what they would have thought. Then we get to verse 6. This one here is identified as Jehovah. Jehovah. In other words, the one that would grow up in this world and be the righteous branch would also be the eternal God. The Ancient of Days. No doubt this would have brought confusion to the Jews, because they were looking for a man. But Jeremiah speaks of the God-man here. What Jeremiah is identifying is that the one who is Jehovah Senkenu is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this name Jehovah Senkenu is a name for Jesus Christ. And that is who is set forth in this verse of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ is in view. The one who is from the line of David, the one who is a man, the one who is that branch, that righteous branch, speaking about his humanity. And then he is also Jehovah, the eternal, the Ancient of Days, the everlasting God. And so Jeremiah was bringing before the people the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is who is identified here in this name. Unmistakably identified. We are coming to view the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah also spoke in the same terms concerning him. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 11, we see how the prophet Isaiah speaks of Jesus Christ here as the branch, then also as the living God. In Isaiah chapter 11, in the verse 1, it tells us, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." That's speaking about his humanity there. Speaking of how Christ would come from the line of Jesse. He would be a branch, a root. He shall grow out of that line. And then verse 2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." And what is that speaking about? Speaking about his deity. "This one shall be one in whom he shall have wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge." This is the living God we're speaking about. And that is who Isaiah again was identifying as the Savior, as the deliverer of Israel. Oh yes, they were looking to the some human deliverer, some man to be raised up out of the line of David. But who does Jeremiah and who does Isaiah set before the people as the Savior? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is both God and both man. Why do these men emphasize the truth of Christ? Why do they emphasize this one here is flesh of our flesh, and also he is Jehovah, the eternal God? The reason why Christ is identified in this way is because these men wanted us to see, and they wanted the people in their day also to see, that this one is the only one that can provide righteousness for us. Yes, he is the eternal God. He is the everlasting one. Therefore, he is the righteous one. He is able to provide a righteousness that is above that which men can earn and merit in life. His righteousness was not that which was shoddy or that which was only an outward performance. It was pure, unstained, undefiled righteousness because it was the righteousness of Jehovah, the eternal God. But then, this one is not only Jehovah. He is the righteous branch. He is from the line of David. He is from the stem of Jesse. And so, he has also our humanity. And therefore, in this twofold nature, the one that is identified here as Jehovah Senkenu is able to provide righteousness for us. If he had been only God, yes, we could be taken up with the great person of God. And what a wonderful subject that is, to think upon the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. Our hearts could be thrilled and we could be standing on wonder at such a truth. Yet he could do nothing for us. Praise God, He's not only Jehovah. He is the branch. The branch that has taken our humanity into union with Himself. And so the righteousness that He earned and He merited while He lived in earth can be our righteousness. Can be ours. He is the one, the only one who can fulfill this role of being righteous and also the provider of righteousness for His people. In the book of Hebrews, this is brought before us in a very clear way. Hebrews chapter 2 and the verses 16 and 17. We have this wonderful truth set before us again. Hebrews 2 verse 16 says, "For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham." In other words, the nature of man, humanity. Then it says, "Wherefore in all things it behoved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Why was He made like unto His brethren? Why did it behove God the Son to be made like unto His brethren, to take humanity, that He might be a faithful and a merciful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for us? That is why Christ took our humanity. That is why He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Because He took our humanity, and in His humanity He earned and He merited for us righteousness that can be ours. So the only Savior of man tonight is the one that is identified here. No one else could take this position. No one else could fulfill this role of being both righteous and the provider of righteousness. No one else is Jehovah and the branch. And the great question we must ask this evening is, where do we stand in relation to this one? Where do we stand in relation to Him? This is the all-important question. Nothing else really matters tonight. Is Jesus Christ your righteousness? Is Jehovah Tsidkenu your God? Is that perfect, sinless righteousness that He merited, is it yours tonight? Is He your Savior? So we see the one that is identified here in this name. The one, what is implied in this name. Notice also what is said to be imputed in this name. What is said to be imputed? As Christ is identified as Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, we learn through this name that what is His becomes ours. What is His becomes ours. Christ is not only the righteous branch, but what this name sets forth is that the righteousness of the righteous branch, it becomes ours. And that's the most wonderful truth. We have noted this evening that what this name implies, we are unrighteous. We have noted who is identified in this name, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is God yet became man and lived a perfectly righteous life. But you know, if we ended there, what benefit would that be to our souls? All that we would have is a perfect example. An example of someone that was righteous, someone that was perfect. In fact, it would be an example that we could never attain unto. And in the end of the day, it would really be just something that would cause us to despair. Because if all that we had was a wonderful and a perfect example, something that we could never attain unto, something that we could never achieve, even though we tried with best of efforts, in our failure we would come to the state of despair. And we would say, what's the point? It's not a very good example, but we could take the example of someone who was very intelligent. Someone perhaps who was in your class at school. There always seemed to be someone like this in my class at school. They were very intelligent. They were able to pass all the exams with flying colors effortlessly. And even though you tried hard and you studied hard and you worked hard, they were always able to achieve a better mark than you were. And really their abilities discouraged you in the end of the day. All the labors and all the effort you put in, when they get the top mark, you felt, what's the point? And you know, if that's all that Christ was an example, that's exactly how we would feel. But as Christ reveals Himself to us as Jehovah Tsidkenu, you not only see one that is righteous, but one who gives to us righteousness. He gives to us righteousness. He imparts it. Or what the right word to use is, He imputes it to us. Places it in our account. In Romans chapter 5, we have a chapter in God's Word that teaches us of this great transaction, and how this takes place, how God gives to us His righteousness. And I want us to turn to Romans chapter 5 for just a moment. Romans chapter 5. We see here in this chapter how we who are by nature and by our actions, how we are unrighteous, yet how we receive by faith the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 18 and 19 it reads, "Therefore as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous." Here we have in this chapter two men in view. And really that's all that is in view here in this chapter, two men. One of these men is Adam, and the other one is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Adam, we fell in sin. Of course, we were all born in Adam. And that is our natural state. We are in Adam. We descended from Adam. And in Adam, we fell in sin. We are under God's condemnation. The opening words of verse 18 teach us this. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, that is Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." That is our position in Adam. In a position of condemnation. In a position under the wrath of God. In a position of unrighteousness. Then in the second half of this verse, Christ is set before us. "Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And so we see here, that through the righteousness of Christ, we have justification. What is justification? Justification means being declared righteous. That's what justification is. If someone is accused of something, and they're brought before the court, and the judge in the land, and they're found not guilty, the judge declares them justified before the law. He says they are not guilty of the crime they are accused of. And so justification is to be declared righteous. Remember what we said of unrighteousness? It is to be found guilty before God's holy law. But when we receive the righteousness of Christ, what happens is we are declared just. We are declared acquitted before that same holy law. When a sinner has received the righteousness of Jehovah's and Kenya, then as they stand before a holy and a just God, and that holy God looks upon them with His holy eyes, what does He see? He sees the perfect righteousness of His perfect Son. And He declares that person righteous. This is the garment that you need to stand in God's presence. The garment of Christ's righteousness. You need to be clothed in it. You need to have it as yours. You say tonight, how can I have that? How can I have the righteousness of Christ as my righteousness? You have told me of this glorious person, this perfectly righteous person, this powerful person who is the Savior of men. But how can He be my Savior? How can I have His righteousness as my righteousness? And to be declared before a holy God as righteous. Well, if you turn over to Romans chapter 4 in the verse 3, it shows us here how we can have this perfect God-satisfying righteousness as our righteousness. In Romans chapter 4 in the verse 3, we read of a man called Abraham. "For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." We read here of Abraham believing God, and it was counted. The word counted means imputed. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. In other words, Abraham was made righteous. Why? Because he believed God. He by faith believed God, and he was declared righteous. Christ's righteousness was imputed to him. Abraham believed God. He left the land of idolatry and Ur of the Chaldees, that great city, that wicked city. He turned his back upon it and he went out to live for God. And he was declared righteous. It was by faith. In Romans 5 and 1, this again is brought before us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith. We could read this, being declared righteous through faith. The glorious message of the gospel is this. If you come by faith, and you confess your great need before God as an unrighteous sinner, Isaiah 64 and 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And if you come before God and say, God, I am an unrighteous sinner. I am a lawbreaker before you. I am guilty before your holy law. But I am coming and I am taking Christ as my Savior. I see what He has done for me. He has lived a perfectly righteous life. He has died an atoning death upon the cross. He has suffered my condemnation, my judgment, the judgment that I deserved in Him. He has suffered it for me. So therefore, I am taking Him as my Savior. If you come to Christ, and that is what it is to come to Him in faith, then I say, according to the word of He who is truth, you will be saved. You will be saved. God is well pleased in His righteous and holy Son. And He is well pleased with all that believe in Him. He is well pleased. Christ is Jehovah's and Kenya, the Lord, our righteousness. Can you say this evening without any shadow of doubt, He is my righteousness? Only those that have their faith in Christ can say this. He is my righteousness. His riches, the riches of His righteousness, have been put into my account. They are imputed to me. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to be saved. It's not merely having a knowledge of Christ, a knowledge of a righteous person, but it's having His righteousness as our righteousness. Can you say that tonight? I have by faith laid hold upon God's Son, and I claim Him as my own. That is absolutely essential if you're ever going to be in heaven. That's what it is to be righteousness. And to have Jehovah's and Kenya as your righteousness. And so we see what is imputed through this name. What this name implies, who is identified. Notice finally here, the blessing that is inferred through this name. Verse 6 tells us in Jeremiah 23 of the blessing that is inferred through this name. It says, in His days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. There are two words in this verse that speak of the blessings that are ours when we have our faith in Jehovah's and Kenya. The two wonderful words. The word saved and the word safely. Two very encouraging and comforting words. We are saved from the punishment of our sin when Jehovah's and Kenya was ours. We are saved from the wrath of God, from the state of condemnation, and we're brought into the eternal state of salvation in Jehovah's and Kenya. We are saved. There's some people, they don't like the word saved. I've spoke to people recently. And they say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't like the word saved. I love the word saved because I'm saved. You know what I mean? If you're saved, you're saved. Rejoice in it. How could you not love it if it's a fact of your soul? I am saved. I am no longer under the condemnation of God. I am delivered. I'll never be in hell because I'm saved. Are you saved tonight? What a word that is. Then we have the word here also, safely. We shall dwell safely. What a great comfort that is to our hearts and minds. When Jehovah's and Kenya is our righteousness, we can dwell safely. Not only for time, but for all eternity. The reason why we dwell safely is because our righteousness does not depend on us, but is found in an infallible person. Person who cannot fail. That is the wonderful truth of God's salvation. Oh, if God's salvation depended upon us, then it would fail because we fail. But God's salvation is wrapped up and is found within a person who cannot fail. Jehovah's and Kenya, the Lord our righteousness, one that possesses perfect righteousness. And therefore we dwell safely. We dwell safely in Him. Reality is, as I live in this world, I sin. I fail, as Paul says in Romans 7:19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. And so I continually fail. And every Christian is the very same. But I can still dwell safely because of the one who is my righteousness. The eternal Almighty God who cannot fail. Is Jehovah's and Kenyu, the Lord our righteousness, your righteousness tonight? What is your hope? What is your hope for eternal life? We have said here that this name, in the very start we said this name, it really is the very heart of the gospel. It identifies the very center of God's truth because it sets forth Christ as the remedy to our condition. Do you know Him tonight? Do you know the one that is revealed in this text of Scripture? If you do, then you've got hope. Hope for time, hope for eternity. If you don't know Him tonight, then you've got anything but hope. You're still in the state of unrighteousness and under the judgment of God. What a great truth is set before us here. What a way of life. What a hope. What a salvation. Don't despise it. Don't reject it. Come tonight and find safety, find salvation, find eternal life in the one who is the Lord, our righteousness. May God even give you grace to do so for His own name's sake. Amen.